May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The lectionary epistle text for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany will be our consideration this morning, which is in chapter 1 of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth from verses 18 through 31. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18, the following, I will read in Jesus' name. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ crucified, who is unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, and nothing and things which are not to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. What happens when we hear distressing news? And how do we respond to that? Well, in our place or position relative to the situation or who's going through those troubles, we can react very differently. If it's someone close to us, if it's a situation that we know very intimately, we would respond differently than someone who's at a distance. Because we have more to be lost and more to be gained and more influence upon that situation if we're closer than if we're at a distance. And so reactions will vary. This is really Paul's reaction to distressing news that was taking place in the metropolitan commercial area of Corinth. You see, he had received in Ephesus distressing news relative to what was taking place in the church. If the church isn't consistent and on message, we should be distressed. We should be bothered by it. Rather than say, oh well, messages fallen off the table, gone off into left field, as we might characterize it. Rather than say, what should be our course of action? How can I communicate? What can I do to help? How can we bring things back within the lines of the highway of Scripture? And so in Corinth, as we read last Sunday for our Scripture message or Scripture reading, there were various factions. Someone faction adhering to Paul, another faction that adhered to Apollos, another one to Peter, another party that gave itself the name of Christ, as we would read earlier in this chapter from verses 12 through verse 17. And so he's trying to pull it together, trying to bring it back down the aisle, so the message wouldn't be lost or diluted, with a T, diluted, to where people wouldn't have any idea where they were to be. And so our collective responsibility, not just mine or those that serve in pastoral responsibilities across the world, is to make sure we stay on message. is to make sure we adhere to the teachings of Scripture, is to make sure we promote the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just party factions that was impacting the church there. There were immoralities that were springing up in the church. You know, Paul didn't just wash his hands and walk away. That's a tendency in our humanity that, well, you know what, we just let it go. Rather than to be there to support, to encourage, to uplift, to stay consistent in our lives. To stay consistent in our lives, in our walk of faith. There were irregularities in public worship. Mistaken views of the resurrection. And as I was considering this week, I thought, you know, if there was one of the churches that Paul wrote to where there were major problems and major issues, as we might say, boy, they had issues. The church in Corinth had major issues. Yet embedded in this letter, this first letter to the church in Corinth, is this beautiful 13th chapter, the chapter on love, which is so often used in wedding ceremonies, often used in talking about how we are to have love for one another. Now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is God's love. And so our text talks about this preaching of the cross. To those that perish, or are perishing, another translation terms in Greek, it says, are perishing, or being saved, it's foolishness. But unto us which are being saved, or are saved, in the King James translation, it's the power of God. Corinth was what we would call a business center. Today, if we think of business centers of our time, I think about the port of Los Angeles or the port of Long Beach. If you ever go there, look at all these containers that are being shipped from overseas and manufacturing that come here to the States, and then they're trucked across our country. Or same thing on the East Coast, West Coast, that's where there's a lot of commerce that takes place. What's a common item there? Water. Shipping. And Corinth was a shipping port, and where there was a lot of commerce that then made its way north from the port of Corinth, if we might want to call it that, north into Asia Minor and across the areas of that time. And so a lot of cultural diversity, a lot of variety of people from many cultures and places and ethnicities and communities of the known world of that time. We're a country of cultural diversity. That's the reality of it. We can name our country of heritage or origin or background, but we continue to be a nation of diversity and cultural variety. And so within this cultural variety, they also brought different thinking. And Christianity is supposed to be on message, the church is intended to bring the message of Jesus Christ to whatever those backgrounds are. And within this diversity, as we think about it, within the culture of Greece of that time, there was a premium on wisdom. And so if you thought you knew something better than the guy down the street, you could go on the street corner and expound it, and if people stopped to listen, you could have an audience. And so at a variety of street corners and a variety of places within the metropolitan area of Corinth, there were people presenting their perspective, their wisdom, their thought. Part of our years in high school is we grow up, we learn about the teachings of the Greeks and the Romans. But the Greeks in particular had a lot of great writings of thoughts and wisdom. As Christians, we can look back in the writings of King Solomon in the book of Proverbs, some of the pithy sayings there that present the wisdom of Solomon. But even with this premium of wisdom within the cultural diversity of Corinth, within the shipping center, there were 12 temples of immorality. Imagine that. Imagine that. So you have a whole variety of things taking place in this community, in this metropolitan area. And It's not unusual that that's going to seep into the church. That's going to start bringing its tentacles into thinking and the teachings of the church of that time. And so you had this factionalism, as I reflected earlier, of, you know, who do I follow? There were moral irregularities. There were irregularities in worship. And so when word came to Paul at Ephesus, they wanted some counsel. They wanted some direction. How are we going to deal with this? Errors in practice, false teachings, divisions. They needed to concentrate on the problems. So where do you begin? How do you start sorting through major issues and problems? You've got to establish a basis. A basis of thinking and a basis of teaching and the basis of practice. And so he goes back to the cross. Preaching of the cross. The preaching, the word of the cross. American Standard. It's the power of God. Go back to the basis. This letter's to the church in Corinth. Making sure they understand that they are being saved by the power of God, not by their own authority or their own volition. Compare that to the wisdom of the wise. All these people, men in particular, standing on street corners, expounding their thought and their perspective. Bringing to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? God's made foolish the wisdom of the world, of this world. Well, of course, that doesn't say we're supposed to be stupid. You know, we're supposed to use the capabilities God's given us. We all have skill sets and employ and you know, serving others. We've been called to serve as a church. Not to live in a bubble. Not to live in isolation. Not to say I have no gifts, I have nothing to offer. We all have something to offer in the church and in our careers and in our service to others. But he's calling this the wisdom of this world as a contrast to the wisdom of Scripture and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God, as verse 21 calls it. The world by through its own wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, as believers, we are intended in the church to have unity. As the family of God. Be united, be bound together, mind and thought. NIV uses the word, there were quarrels in Corinth. Arguing their perspective of who they followed and what they thought. You know, Jewish Christians found it convenient and comfortable to say, I'm following Peter, or Cephas, as his name is presented here in King James translation. New converts thought Apollos was a good guy. So they followed Apollos. Those new in the church that were Gentile in particular, and Greek, Gentile, non-Jewish Christians, followed Paul. That was his particular perspective. He wanted them to know Christ is not divided. Christ is not divided into these segments and these little silos. It's a oneness. There's a unity in Scripture and in the church. You see, faith is not fact. The facts of Scripture stand, but it's not, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight in that sense. And so the Greeks looked for wisdom and for knowledge. The Jews looked and expected a triumphant political settlement, messianic solution. And the Romans' perspective is no reputable person would be crucified, much less be a savior. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because man's ways is not God's ways. The world, through its wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Jesus Christ crucified. Here's that basis. Keeps coming back. Preaching of the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all those follow in convenient, harmonious sequence. Go back to the basics. those that are educators among us this morning sometimes realize that their students have gotten off track, have lost focus on the basics. And I can remember where something as concrete as mathematics, where the instructor will come in one day and say, you know what, I realize after looking at this last test that we need to go back and focus on some of these basics. And so go back to the beginning, go back some segment of that particular semester or quarter, and okay, let's go back and reaffirm. Go back and confirm. And start at that point, build it back up again. Go back to the foundation. Foundational teachings. Many times in a remodel of a building, where do you go back to the foundation? Foundation is still solid. Reaffirm it. Build up again. And so he's reaffirming and rebuilding upon the foundational teachings that he had left with the church there. Then he will address the problems. Then he will address the moral laxities. Then he'll address the irregularities. And so to those which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. You see, the crucified Christ is the power that saves. The resurrected Jesus Christ is the power that saves. The ascended Jesus Christ is the power that saves. The basis for salvation, the basis for access to God the Father, and the hope for life. You know, there are those who through life sometimes feel there is a hopelessness, because life can be so difficult and be coming at them so fast. And the changes come that they don't expect. And they feel this hopelessness. The church is to be a ray of hope, a safe harbor. They're like those lighthouses that dominate the coasts of our country in the east and the west coast. A beacon that shines out into the night of the darkness of the seas. The tumult that life does bring, as we spoke of last Sunday. Here is where it's safe. Here is where you can find hope. Here is where you find salvation. Here is where you can find people who care. Rather than to be the Lone Ranger going through life, riding the horse through the desert alone. We travel together. We reach out to the ones who's falling down. Be supportive. Have the attribute of a servant rather than that of a dictator and a general. Provide meaningfulness to the journey. Jesus Christ said, "Follow me in faith." There is wisdom in Scripture. The message of the cross, the power of God, as Isaiah tells in chapter 29, denouncing worldly focused wisdom. That was a contrast the church was to have in Corinth. The worldly focused wisdom of the guy on the street corner pronouncing what his thoughts were in his perspective and trying to garner people to listen to him. I can't guess how many churches there might have been in Corinth. A couple, perhaps, two or three, but so easy to get off message when you've got a dozen or more at the street corner, let alone what the Greeks were teaching, which we look back on some of their teachings as being very well placed when it comes down to governance and human perspective. But these are so-called wise men. Or they saw themselves self-pronounced wise men. Only I can fix it. Self-pronounced. Be careful when we follow somebody or listen to somebody who says, only I can do it, or only I know it. You see, there's always confirmation in the church of a message. There's confirmation in Scripture. There's confirmation in the relationships or the communications, the conversations we have with each other. Bringing raw concepts of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to go back to the basics. We want meaningfulness in our journey. We want hope in the attainment. Knowing there's a purpose here for us within our husband, wife, spouse, family relationship, within our immediate families, our extended families, those that we know, those that we journey with. And it's not attained by worldly means. God hath chosen, verse 27, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So the focus isn't on the messenger, but the focus should be on the message. Many have stood in pulpits of the church since the times of Christ, led home gatherings as Philemon did, or others in the book of Acts as the church, you know, started to get some traction and started to move forward and then spread. And the message has to be the same. Yeah, cultural differences are, you know, and times are different today. I can think back over my childhood how times are different from what it was in the 60s when I was growing up, in the 70s. It's different. You know, we deal with morality issues. We deal with differences of opinion. We deal with cultural situations. We deal with circumstances within our nation today that are very different from those that were even 20, 30 years ago. It's the way it is. May the church continue to be knit together. Avoid divisiveness. Avoid isolation. Avoid the only I know perspective. Only I can do it. And those that would say that. That no flesh should glory in its presence, that I can promote self. And so he's making sure they understand that whether they be claim they are of Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or of Christ, is to be no division. There is no to be those that claim I have the right stripe and the right perspective. We are all to be one. Knit in love. The love divine, all loves excelling that we sing of as songwriter was inspired. But of him are you, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Four key attributes that we can focus on this morning and consider. Important words. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of Scripture. The gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. Sanctification of the Spirit. Wisdom consists of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Consistency. Here's the baseline. And then he launches off in chapter 2 into addressing the problems. Let's all go back and reestablish. Let's all go back and focus here in 2017. Let's focus and think. What are these keys of Scripture, keys of the church, that we are to uphold and say, I would subscribe to that. I'll put my John Hancock to that. Versus the contrast or the contrary. Some unique way of thinking that might seep in and impact the church and impact our thoughts. Go back to the baseline, the preaching of the cross. Go back to wisdom from God consists of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Why are we here this morning? There's a reason we're here. Well, we enjoy fellowship, that's for sure. Conversation and the relationships that we have over the course of time, the immediacy of it, talk about what we're dealing with. To be encouraged by Scripture, putting aside, as we deal with our everyday lives, those things that, you know, it's like taking the bucket and putting it aside, and let's look upon those things which are of eternal significance. Things that feed our spirit and our soul versus things that feed our mind in other directions. Our thinking can be all over the map sometimes. Our thoughts can be all over the map as we look at what our lives are facing in 2017. But the Lord has been with us, and we look at His constancy with us, constantly abiding with us as our Redeemer and our Savior. And as it is written in verse 31, if we're to place some emphasis, or as it tells us in Scripture, he that glories, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Glory in the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Versus, I really like that guy. He's really important. I'm going to place my ship with him. I'm going to jump in his boat. No. Disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And who was in the helm? Who was there with them? Jesus Christ himself. Storms raging. Difficulties are coming. What's the biggest concern of a mariner? The ship sinking, of course. And that's what they were concerned about. What if this ship is going to sink? Lord, save us. So I'm here with you. We have to be reminded of that when life is difficult, when we're facing uncertainty or transition, health issues. I'm with you. I'm in your boat. I'm here with you. I'll see you through. Hope for the shore. It'll be okay. We need that reassurance, don't we? It'll be okay. It'll work out. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, may we be reminded of these baseline concepts of Scripture and how Paul was consistent and on message with the church at that time, how his disciples, his counterparts, went out as they were encouraged to do so with the message of the gospel of salvation, the way, as they called it in that time, to reach out to the world of the known world and ancient Palestine and across the Roman Empire, but even as we are to do so in the various capacities that we're responsible for in our lives, to by our very actions and by our very words reflect that which comes from you, the wisdom of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. May we in the week ahead reflect upon that and consider that which Scripture teaches us even this morning. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.